Greetings. Good morning. My name is Johnny.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Union Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. I'd like to read to you now from the Daily Word with today's opening message for Sunday, June 16th. The message today is a blessing for fathers. It says, I honor all father figures in my prayers. Today is an opportunity to recognize and honor the fatherly influences in my life, whether their role as a parent, mentor, teacher, or coach. Their encouragement and guidance gave me the gift of believing in myself. My prayers also include fathers and stepfathers who are new to the role, learning the importance, dedication, and patience it takes. I bless the role models who are helping to build life skills and live by example. Whether changing a diaper, telling a story, attending school functions, or teaching how to ride a bike, at the heart of all that matters is love. God's presence is active in their lives. I pray they live in this awareness and enjoy the experience of watching children discover who they are and what they are capable of achieving. And from the Bible, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. And that's Isaiah 41:10. And now if everyone will remain seated while Joyce plays Surely the Presence. Song on page 203 and remain standing after words for greetings.
Safe and secure from all of
Anybody out there got any announcements? Because I have one. Nobody else there. It's a very special day for somebody. Today is Bill's 60th birthday, so we all got to say happy birthday. Are you ready? All together now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bill. Happy birthday.
Yes, Cindy?
I was loosely considering having a house cooling party for Mom's house on the 29th of this month, and I wanted to see if that was a good day, because I know it's the week before the 4th of July, but I wanted to see if anybody else would be interested in that, or I would, if it's not something that...
So that's next Saturday?
It's two Saturdays from now.
Two Saturdays
from now. 2 weeks from yesterday.
What do you do, a cooling party?
I'm just calling it that. You know, people have a housewarming party when you move in, so that's why it's probably not the proper name.
It's a wonderful idea.
I just would like everybody to come and embrace
mom.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. Cool.
Nice. probably be like brats and sauerkraut.
Yeah.
I like brats and sauerkraut. So, and then if anybody wants to bring a dish,
beer,
whatever, you know, we've got a grill. We'll do a grill. And
what day of the week is it?
It's a Saturday. Is that okay? Is that something that people would nice be interested in?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure. Hi, Bobby. Hi. Welcome.
So, so then we'll plan on it for Saturday. I'm going to get some caramel apples from Katie with some chocolate because I just found her and she's amazing.
What's the date again?
It's Saturday the 29th, like about 2 in the afternoon. I'll get some beer, in case anybody wants beer. I like beer. So. If anybody wants to drink anything, we'll get sloppy, drunk, and stupid, and funny events. Everybody wants.
Your mom would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mom would appreciate that.
You know, moms go away and the kids start having a party at the house.
I know. When the mics are away. What is it? When the cats are away, the mics are away.
Right.
So we'll plan on that for the 29th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah. Okay. Also, about your tires?
Yes. You have something?
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, and the tires. What are they?
I
emailed it to. There's a set of four wheels and tires, and then, oddly, a donut. There are five holes in the wheels and four in the donut. I don't know how that works. I don't know anything about tires.
But if you need some tires, call Cindy.
Yeah, they're small. They're 75 R14s or something.
We'll send out an email with
them. Yeah, but they're good tires. They're, like I said, they're wheels and tires. So if you want them, please call me and come and get them. Thank you. Sorry, Kate.
Now it's time for our unity statement.
Whoa.
Your announcement?
The Erica has an announcement.
You never had that?
I do.
Yes, your new opportunity.
Oh. You told some people yesterday. I think everyone wants to know now.
Yes. So I was blessed with my first teaching position in Ocean Shores, Washington. So I'm still planning to come speak monthly. I'll be talking with Susan to work out that. I'll be like an hour and 40 minutes away, but I'm not too far away. And so I think it's going to be adventurous and I'm excited.
Congratulations. And when does that start?
September. The school year starts in September.
Cool.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade.
Okay, anything else? All right, now it's time for our unity statement. If you'd all please join me in the unity statement in your program, we will say it together. We believe
in the abundance of all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one in our presence. And we practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God.
Now, if all please stand for our song of joy on page 184.
All right, so this tune is going to be familiar, but we're going to sing the words that are under 184, for I am the image of God.
Oh, okay.
I am the image of God, I am. I am the image of God, I am. The image of love, of life, of health, the image of joy, of strength, of wealth. I am the image of God, I am. I am the image of God, I am. I am the image of God.
Hello? Okay, this is another book from Deanne, given to me by Cindy. I've got a really, really nice collection. This is called Words That Heal by Douglas Block. And it is a little short reading with some affirmations after it. The title is, When One Door Closes, Another Door Opens. When one door closes, another door opens. Have patience, perseverance, and persistence. There comes a time along the spiritual journey when something we cherish must come to an end. Perhaps a meaningful relationship is terminated. Perhaps some opportunity we sought suddenly becomes unavailable. Whatever the circumstances, we feel shut down from a good that we desired. When this occurs, do not despair, for the infinite has not forgotten you. You have experienced loss for one reason and for one reason only, so that you may receive an even greater good. Nature abhors a vacuum. That is true in the physical world and has its parallel in the spiritual world. You can't release something without gaining something in return. The universe longs to fill your world, replacing sadness with joy, loss with gain, death with rebirth. What then is your task when the door is closed before you? First, release your attachments to the way it was, or the way you wished it to be. Your higher self has prepared a far greater gift for you. Then affirm to yourself, when one door closes, another door opens. I expectantly look forward to the good that awaits me. Be patient, for it will come in the twinkling of an eye. And then there are five little affirmations that go along with this reading. I release the past and eagerly look toward the good that awaits me. I release my prior expectations and allow a benevolent universe to support me. I have faith that I am being guided to my next step. Although I grieve for what I lost, I know that a greater good will follow. And last, a new door in my life stands open before me.
Thank you, Dan. And now it's time for our meditation song. This says our meditation song is supposed to be up on the screen.
No screen.
My riches gained, my gain.
Please join me in the affirmations. They're also in your program guide. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly grateful for all the good I already experienced. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time.
And now it's time for our Lord's Prayer. This weekend we'll be doing the traditional Lord's Prayer. It's located in the front of your hymnal. Please return it when you're finished to the next person. And afterwards, we'll go right into our Alleluia. Together now. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others. Grandfather's going to expand on that this morning for us with a little comparisons. Thank you, Grandpa.
Claudia.
Claudia.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you.
I want every man here who is a father to stand.
Gentlemen, you have been given by the Creator a great honor and privilege of fatherhood. How should you live your life as a father? Well, you've got an example laid out for you. Don't you use the term heavenly father for God? He's our father. So if you could pattern your life after him, you're going to live a good life as a father. You've accepted as becoming a father responsibility. The responsibility for the protecting, the care, the teaching, all that a child needs or those children need that you brought into this world. My prayer is may God, the Creator, our Heavenly Father, bless you in this. I'm going to ask now to see just who has the most children. So if you have two or more children that you brought into this world, remain standing. If you have three or more, remain standing. If you have four or more, remain standing.
Busy, busy, busy.
Winner, winner.
And how many?
Five.
Five. Oh.
Three boys, two girls.
Three boys and two girls. Yeah. Well, I have a very, very special gift for you. An ancient Indian Northwest Coast spoon carved out of the cedar with the bird on it. This isn't real old, it's modern made, but it's after the tradition of our pre-white contact Indian ancestors who lived here. My gift to you, Andrew, for your great job. Bring it on, children.
did me. I only had three children. But my three children gave me 15 grandchildren. Well, one of my sons only had two children, but another one had eight children. All total, 15 grandchildren. My 15 grandchildren have given me 27 great-grandchildren. And one of my great-granddaughters 4 years ago made me great-great-grandpa with a great-great-granddaughter. This month, I had two of my great-grandchildren graduate from high school, all long before I become great-great-great. And it's been an exciting life, a very exciting life. What I want to share with you today is looking back at when the first missionaries came here. They said, you must give up your heathen, pagan, even evil ceremonies, Indian ceremonies and rituals and teachings if you want to be a good Christian. But that not only was ancient missionaries, we have today in 2019, fundamentalist Christian preachers who still say the same thing. When I had the Seattle Native American Church in Seattle, I had a couple of Tlingit Indians who moved down from Alaska. And they were invited by friends of theirs to come to my church service, Indian church service. And they were shocked when they heard what I was teaching. Because in Alaska, their Presbyterian missionaries had made them burn their button blankets. Burn and destroy everything they had that was Indian tradition, because being evil, heathen, and pagan. When they came to my church services, they heard me saying, come and wear your ribbon shirts, your button blankets, come to the sweat lodge with me. And then they thought, we've never heard this before. But there has been this conflict. So the question is, of the Indian rituals, ceremonies, and teachings, if there is such conflict with Christianity, can you, grandfather, show them in the Bible as being there in the Bible? So what I want to share with you in the next few minutes, I want to run through the number of these as quickly as I can, Indian rituals, ceremonies, and Indian teachings, and I see them in the Bible. If I can see them in the Bible and they're heathen and pagan, does that mean Christianity is evil, heathen, and pagan? Oh, my. Well, some of these things I'll share with you, I have shared with you in the past, but as an individual thought in another completely different topic. What I want to try and do today is to bring a list of comparatives of Native spirituality and Christian spirituality, to show the harmony that's there in the Bible. So, the first one I'll share with you, I've shared with you in the past, but it's a good place to begin. Because the first missionaries came here, they made the proclamation that we Indian people worship many gods and we worship many things. We worship all the animals, the wingeds, the four-leggeds, the swimmers, the crawlers. We worship the green people, the trees. We worship all the stone people. And my response to them is, no, you're wrong, missionaries. You misunderstand us. After all, missionary, do your people worship you as a god? Do they worship your teachers as gods and the Bible teachers? No, aren't they your teachers? Well, the animals, the plants, the minerals, and all are not gods to us. They are teachers. As far as gods are concerned, we worship just one god. You take, for example, the Sioux Indians, their term Wonkin Tonka. That's singular. The Great Spirit. Not plural gods. Worshiping the Great Spirit. Kishi Manitou, another Plains Indian term. That means creator. Here amongst Salish Indians, it's Highest Sokhavi Taiyi, the great chief of the bow. Not plural, singular. We just worship one God. So we find all this in harmony. And as far as the animals, the plants, the minerals, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it says, everything. Now, that's an all-inclusive word. This thought I've shared with you in the past. Some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. Everything, Romans 1:20, to be known about God can be known through the things that are made. The animals, the plants, the minerals, all the things that have been made. Oh, Paul, you must have been a good Indian instead of a good Christian. The great apostle, the Bible, is saying, you Indians, you've got it. You understand it. The similarity, the commonality between the Indian teachings and in the Bible. Let's take another thought. Last night, the darkness was so bad that you may not be able to see your hand in front of your face. But as morning approached, it got lighter and lighter, and then called it dawn. And then Grandfather Sun suddenly came up. And where'd the darkness go?
You can't find it. It's been hiding somewhere. It's gone.
Well, the Indian teaching is that where there is light, there can be no darkness. Our prayer on that teaching, we had a prayer given. You know, many times you give your prayers as Christians from a Bible verse of Scripture. Well, our prayer from that might be, Creator God, today may the light of your wisdom dispel the darkness of my ignorance. Now, where do I find that in the Bible? Gospel according to John, chapter 1. Jesus, John says, is the light of the world, and the darkness cannot apprehend or comprehend the light. For where there's light, there can be no darkness. Oh, the same teaching. The same Amen. Teaching. Let's take the concept of the sweat lodge. This is another one that I have shared with some of you in the past. The sweat lodge. Amongst the Suquamish Indians, a number of years ago, I had a young man. Oh, he was probably in there, about 35 to 40 years of age. I mean, that's young. He came to my sweat lodge for his very, very first sweat. Because he'd been raised in a Christian Indian home where they'd been taught you don't have anything to do with the old Indian traditional ways or you're going to go to hell. But he kept hearing about my teaching, so he came for his very first sweat. I knew it was his first sweat, so I took the time to give the teachings of the sweat lodge. It goes for 4 rounds. And the first round, I began to give these teachings, how that Indian teachings are when you're in the sweat lodge, you're in the womb of the Creator. So if you're in the womb of the Creator, what happens when you leave the womb? Leave the sweat lodge. You're being born again. The teaching is you leave the old man behind in that fire, all the negatives of your life in that fire, and you come forth as a new creature. Where do I see that in the Bible? Well, how about water baptism? And what does Paul say in Romans chapter 6? Being buried with Christ, leaving the old man behind, and coming forth as a new creature. The teachings of the sweat lodge are the same as the Christian teachings on water baptism. The Christian missionary or preacher, he looks at the Indian preaching of the sweat lodge, the scene of the ceremony of the sweat lodge, say, what an evil heathen pagan. It's a weird ceremony you guys have. And traditional Indians look at Christians and water baptism, what a weird ceremony they have. And they're both saying the same thing. Similarities. Let's take a look at vision questing. Is that in the Bible? In the vision quest, we go on the mountain all alone. For a period of time, when I say a period of, we go on the mountain, that's the same in every one of the different Indian cultural areas. But how long you stay there may be different. Assume Indians is 4 days and 4 nights. Here amongst Salish Indians, it might be for 4 days, it might be 7 days or 11 days or 15 days until you receive your vision. But you're there until you receive your vision. This gives you, in the Indian world, your medicine power. It's where you're going to find out the days when you go to the first person quest, at the time of age, when you're about 13 or 14 years of age, will you're entering into manhood or womanhood, and you learn what your goal is, what you are supposed to be doing for the rest of your life in the village, whether you're going to be a medicine man, a medicine woman, a warrior, whatever you're going to be. In the Bible, well, Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. It's a total time of fasting and prayer. And he was in fasting and prayer. Oh, any others? Well, how about Moses? When he went on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And did these receive any medicine power? Well, Jesus, the Bible says, when he left the wilderness, immediately, he went to Cana of Galilee. And there at Cana of Galilee, he attended a marriage feast. And what did he do? He changed the water into wine. A miracle. And from then on, his life was filled with raising the dead and healing the lame, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, all. Life of miracles. Did he receive his medicine power in his vision quest? Yes. How about Moses on the mountain? Did he receive his medicine power? Yeah, he received not only the Ten Commandments, but the Bible says God's finger wrote the Ten Commandments on stone, but he received the directions on building the tabernacle that they would take with them in the wilderness and all the rules and regulations for their spiritual journey as Jewish people. Yes, he received his medicine power. I'll just turn one more. That's Daniel. Daniel in the book, chapter 11 of the book of Daniel tells that he had been in Babylon for 70 years. The king of Babylon in 496 BC had destroyed Jerusalem and killed many of the people and taken many of the young people as captives, like slaves, to Babylon. And Daniel had been a young man, but Isaiah the prophet had previously prophesied that this was going to happen. And Isaiah said, and the captivity will last 70 years, and then Jerusalem will be rebuilt. And so now Daniel was an old gray-haired man, but he was still alive, and it was 70 years. And he was concerned, how is this going to happen? And so he went into fasting and prayer, a vision quest. And the Bible says he was in his fasting for 21 days in prayer. When finally, the Bible says that Michael, the archangel, came and said, I know you've been in waiting for me for 21 days, but I've been in a battle with the evil power and the evil spirits, but I've now come. Gabriel came and helped me, and I want you to know that you will be returning shortly to Jerusalem, and if the whole story unravels, and that take more time for me to tell this morning how that all happened, that Daniel, with the new king of Persia who conquered Babylon right shortly after that, Daniel had simply showed him the prophecy of Isaiah several hundred years before that this would happen, to the extent of even naming his name, Darius, king of Persia. Darius saw this prophecy and he said, I've got to have that all fulfilled. And he saw to it that Daniel and the others returned to Jerusalem when Jerusalem was rebuilt. Vision questing is in the Bible. That's an Indian ceremony. Going to take you to another place. This is something I've never shared with you before, I'm sure. We know the stories in the book of Exodus about the children of Israel in their release or from the Babylonian, Egyptian bondage, and how Moses went to Pharaoh. And you've read all those stories of all the plagues that Moses had God bring down upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Finally, it came to the final plague. And you remember that was the story where Moses went to Pharaoh and said, tonight, the death angel is going to pass over this land. And the firstborn son in every one of your families is going to die. And the firstborn of all your cattle, the firstborn of all your sheep, they're all going to die tonight. And then he went to the children of Israel and said, the death angel is going to pass over. I want you to take the finest lamb that you have without blemish upon it. slay it, and take some hyssop and paint the blood of the lamb over the doorposts of your house, and the day's angel will pass over, and there'll be no death in your family. Hyssop? What was hyssop? Hyssop was of the sage family. And when we do a smudging ceremony, as I will be doing this afternoon for one of the families that's here in the church this morning, their new home they built, and they're going to be doing a blessing ceremony, but I'll be doing the smudging. It's a purification and blessing ceremony. And we take the eagle feather and we fan it with smoke from the sage, the hyssop, purification, cleansing. Oh, it's the same thing. Oh, there's so much I could say about each of these. I'm just saying enough to give you the idea rather than just go into the fullness, because each one of these could be a whole topic of a morning by itself. But I'm giving you a full collection to see that it's not just one item, but instant after instant, ceremony, ritual after ceremony after ritual, and you can see them in the Bible. When we go to the Sundance ceremony, that's where they raise the cottonwood tree and ropes are attached, and down the people or men that are dancing the Sundance, they have skewers driven, wooden skewers driven through the flesh on each side of their breast, and the ropes circled with circles hooked onto it, and they dance till they break those pinions out of the flesh. And I remember out of the several of these ceremonies that I witnessed and witnessed by being in the Sacred Arbor, I was there, I'm just recalling one of them. I was there in that particular place for the 4 days and four nights of the dancing. There were 16 sun dancers, 16 men dancing. Four, one at a time, each day would break loose, so that in the 4 days, all 16 would. It was on the fourth morning when I went down to the Sacred Arbor to be there. I was there to be in prayer for one of my friends who was dancing. And I looked, there weren't 16, there were 17. And that 17th looked just like pictures that I'd seen of Jesus. Oh, he was a sun dancer. He was pierced and affixed to the center flowering tree, Calvary. And he broke loose from his pinions on Calvary. Oh, Jesus was a great sun dancer, the greatest of all, because he gives us the hope of eternal life in his resurrection. Oh, more ceremonies, more rituals that are at the heart of Native spirituality, and they're all in the Bible. I'm going to conclude with one more. How many of you read the book of the Revelation? A few of you. Well, one thing I might say before I open this up, and that is, how many of you have ever heard people, preachers, refer to, turn to Revelations, plural, chapter, verse? Oh, it's not plural. Read your Bible. It says the Revelation. It's one revelation with many component parts. But how many of you, in reading the Revelation, have read the story of the four horsemen? Yeah. Oh, there are a few of you. Well, what were the colors? This is our Sundance medicine bill. This is our Indian Bible. So, do we see those four horses here? Well, what did the Bible say were the colors of the horses? One horse was white. And the Bible says another horse was black. And the third horse was red. And the fourth horse was pale. Oh, same colors. Same colors, yeah. We find that the prophecy is there also in our Sundance Med School. Thank you, thank you. What does all this teach me? That God is no respecter of persons. That we, in unity, every Sunday service, we all in unison say we believe in the values, principles, and teachings of Jesus and others. How many times in these last few years have I referred you to this? And again, we look at it by looking at comparatives. Comparatives. The teaching of Jesus and others, they are there together, all together. I'm so grateful for a God that loves us, no matter whether we're Christian, no matter whether we're Unity, Methodist, Baptist, no matter if we are Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, or whatever, for God so loved the world. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. As we go into silence, dropping everything that's in your mind, go into the emptiness. Go into the nothingness where you can find the everything, God. At the very center of your heart and soul and being. Listen to the voice of God speaking to you through His Spirit. Ask the Creator to reveal His desire for you to be more harmonious with all people, with all cultures, with all religions. Ask the Creator to lead you and guide you into looking, actually looking for opportunities to bring harmony and unity amongst peoples of various cultures. Listen for His voice. Determine to follow the directions of that voice. Close call.
Thank you, Grandpa. And now it's time for offering. There are two containers in our offering baskets. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, bless us and multiply all that I give and all that I receive. Thank you.
in your program, Ben. We bless these gifts
and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is.
Now it's time for a healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. Beloved Mother, Father God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen.
Amen.
And now it's time for a prayer of protection. Let's say the prayer of protection together. You'll find it on the back of your program or on the wall here.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God upholds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
And I want to thank everybody who made our Sunday service possible. Don't forget coffee, refreshments, and fellowship downstairs if there's anything left from breakfast. And now let's all form a circle and join hands and sing our peace song together.
Okay.